Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
How are
Michael.
you?
Good, how are you?
Living in a different time, different world.
It's really been fast, hasn't it?
It's more of a blocking and tackling world than anything else at this point in time. So, and I believe that what we have been doing, what I've been doing, and John, I told John that you know he's in the midst of taking care of a lot of stuff, so I said you can jump off this call. But we you know, been doing a lot of blocking and tackling and preparing for what I think will be beneficial going down the road. You know, a lot of contact with current clients and presenting them with opportunities to listen to our strategists. We've had three of those already. Constantly putting information in front of them with our opinion of how the markets are going to function with regard to this virus and putting out some information regarding the virus in general. It's just a different time. I've never, and you know, none of us have ever experienced this before. So, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of just staying in touch. I had one person panic out. And then of course last week he said to me, could you take a look at Ultimate and see, you know, how much worse I'm doing now than I was before? So I said, yeah, when I get a chance, you know, but you know, it's, again, different time.
Yeah, it's, you know, you've been around a long time and so have I, so we've seen these, but this was, you know, you're never quite used to the new one. It's always crazier than the last one, or at least it seems that way when you're going through it. This one was unique, and I don't, you know, it's not over, but it's, we're getting used to a 500-point day. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's just 500 points today. No big deal.
It really
true,
is.
Right?
Whoever thought we'd be saying that, that's it really
right.
Is true. It's just, you know, different, you know, and it's amazing. Again, most of my clients have been with me for so long. The newer ones, I'm beginning to understand, you know, when I call them and, you know, other than making a change here and there, we're not making many changes. You know, just trying to live within the confines of this world. But it's just a matter of constant contact with the clients on a regular basis. And, you know, every day speak to, you know, any number of them just to say hello. And all I do is call and say hello and find out how they are. You know, and let them, like you always say, let them do the talking. You know, just... wanted to see, you know, and their well-being. And you know what? They're greatly appreciative of that. So,
of course they are.
Yeah.
Well, one of the most important things for you is to take advantage of this time since you're, quote, rebuilding your book.
Right.
What have you done about that?
Well, I'm probably going to go forward, and I think I've greased the wheels enough to be able to say, hey, you know, who else should I be speaking to at this point in time? I've kind of just, for the last 5 weeks, have just been, it's not even survival mode. It's just a matter of staying in touch and staying in front, you know, dealing with different webinars, from a rebuilding standpoint. You know, I haven't brought anything new. I've put some new business in place because of some inherited money that I brought in the last couple of months. You know, but that's it. I haven't really beaten down the doors. I've become very active in the newest charity, which is the Florence Fuller Kids Charity. They got me involved in the governance committee. You know, I'm now treasurer on the foundation board. I get invited to every board meeting along the way. I'm assuming that something positive will come out of that. You know, can't do it all at one time, but, you know, so that's one avenue of doing it. The other part is just, you know, constantly, you know, my accountant is shut down, you know, doctors are shut down other than telehealth, you know, so it's tough to get into a center of influence, although my cardiologist seems to be close to becoming a new client. He said to me, well, what would you need to start? I said, you know, I don't know, 250. So what if I give you 2 million? I said, I have no problem with that. And it's really funny, in a conversation of a telehealth meeting, and then he wanted to go into you know, an investment meeting. So I'm, you know, I give him some advice, and I believe that accountant, you know, will come with me. You know, it's and again, bigger size accounts. So you know, I'm waiting for people to send in more money, but interesting conversations.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the best time I've ever seen for prospecting.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think? Why would you say that?
Well, because I may be making calls and their current advisor is not. I mean, that's always
right.
been the case for as long as I've been around. So, you know, it just and it's not only that, it's prospecting. I throw in a little recruiting. Here, and I, you know, I made a call the other day just out of the blue. You know, one of the, we had a new guy, we hired a new guy as a business development guy, but I tried to hire him as a manager. And then I sent him an email saying, who do you know at Wells Fargo that I should be talking to? And he gave me a list of 11 people. The first call I made, which was late on Friday, was a really positive, you know, call. So again, the majority of people are not making outgoing calls, and they're certainly not receiving incoming calls. That's for sure.
Okay. So I'm just trying to see what's changed and why there is opportunity. So you nailed the first one, other advisors not calling. What about in the area of do-it-yourselfers? Do you think they feel as good about doing it themselves as they did, or?
No, they definitely don't. And I use my son-in-law as a barometer. You know, it's funny you said that, because I didn't even think about it that way. I, you know, I was talking to him one day, and he told me that he liquidated half of his portfolio. I didn't even give him a why. I, you know, just, but they, you're right. The do-it-yourselfers are not comfortable. This is the time it happens. You know, they
right.
just think that they, all this time they've had it. I've always said, the way I describe it, Rob, is that, you know, it's really easy to take a $1,000 profit. It's never easy to take a $1,000 loss, which becomes a $10,000 loss. It just never comfortable. The psyche, the human psyche doesn't let you do that.
Well, and, you know, there's so much more. Let's say a person has 10 million and they're with, and they're trying to do it themselves virtually, right?
Yeah.
And there's people that do that. So what else has changed? How do you think the indexes are doing versus professional money management?
Well, I think that it's been, well, it's not only now, but it's certainly added to it now, but I think the indexes are performing better. You know, I think the, you know, there's too many people trying to outguess the markets.
Well, let me push back on that a little bit. When you
okay.
have got an index that includes all industries, right?
Right.
And has there been a bifurcation of industries during the sell-off? No. Has the technology done better than the airlines?
Oh, there's no doubt.
Right. Has technology done better than the restaurants?
Well, technology's done better than everything, and the industries that are getting crushed, you know, the restaurants, the airlines, the cruise lines, oil
right.
at this point in time. No, I understand what you're saying.
So if you own the index, you own them all, right? So
yeah.
you're, you know, when you buy the S&P 500, you buy everything. Whereas if you had a manager that knew anything and was decent at this, for the first time in a long time, they can, if they have a brain, outperform the indexes. like you said, they always have outperformed. I mean, they have underperformed. But for now, for the first time in a long time, I think, I mean, I certainly can outperform them, outperform the indexes now. I wouldn't imagine that if you were doing this for a living, you would, unless you're trying to, you know, there's going to be the managers that all they do is try and get 1% better than the index. So they own everything in there. But I don't consider them money managers. I consider them index managers. Okay. But let's just say that it is a real money manager that you hire to do well, right?
Yeah.
And he's got, and he's gotten himself and keeps himself. He hasn't owned oils for 6 years. He doesn't own the REITs. He doesn't own utilities. He owns healthcare. He owns technology. He owns cybersecurity stock. I mean, he's killing it right now compared to the indexes. So all I'm saying is there's some bifurcations in the market. There's some changes in the market that are creating opportunities where you can say, hey, I understand indexing was a good idea. When you made the decision to go into indexing, that was great. But things, do you think things have changed? Yeah. I think things have changed a lot. And had you been with me, we would have done much better because this is what we did and have been doing. So I think you got a chance to tell a story here to those independents that all they did was throw the money in the S&P 500, throw up when the market crashed, but now they're looking for answers. To me, you've got some answers. You know, it's kind of the new economy versus the old. And you don't own, you know, you haven't needed to own General Motors for a long time. You haven't needed to own steel companies for a long time. So I don't need to own the indexes. If I'm an investor, now if I'm a, you know, I'm an idiot, then I'll just buy the S&P 500 and hope I do my best. But I'm an investor. You know, I'm a guy, I've been in this for 48 years. You know, I should by this time have figured out something. And that's what you have to offer, which is something completely different from what others are offering. Now, you can use ETFs to buy the industries that you like and all that and overweight them. But just overweighting them is one thing. How about rebalancing? Did the independent guy rebalance? No.
No.
He missed that opportunity on the way up, the way down, and now back on the way up. So if there was ever a time to talk about, you know, enhancing returns through rebalancing, you know, it's now. The other thing is financial planning, you know. Financial planning isn't that important when everything's going up, but when you throw the market in a tailspin, financial planning becomes important again.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, I answered indexes, but I've been using two money managers. One of them is an ETF money manager, but the diversified portfolio, and you know, they are very active in terms of, you know, restructuring the portfolio. You know, they've gotten away from a lot of you know, foreign, where they used to be heavier, you know, when things were better. So now it's just a matter of, you know, they do use some bonds, but you know, there's a group called West End that I use. There's another manager that my timing couldn't have been any worse, but there's a place called, there's something called Capital Wealth out of Naples that does a, they buy the S&P 100 stocks, you know, select from that, and then they write covered calls when it's the opportune time is there. They don't buy every stock. They're very selective. You know, so I mean, other than a couple of portfolios where I've, you know, kept a percentage, you know, with an S&P fund because it made the client feel better. But no, we're certainly moving around just using, you know, like you said, ETFs. I was just looking at, I've been trying to get people to buy one particular type of ETF, which is for cloud computing. And I know I'm zeroing in on something because I think that that's the future of where we're going. You know, adding to what cloud computing was always something big. But now living in the world that we do, everything is done online. You know, Dinners are online. Shopping is online, you know, and you got to have it. So, yeah, those are the things that I think are important for the growth of the industry. So, yeah, I've been discussing that with clients pretty regularly.
Well, I'm just throwing those out as, you know, ways of showing people that doing it themselves is fine. You can do average. You're guaranteed to do average. You know, but if you want to have a, you know, I wouldn't have a baseball team or a football team where I went in planning on doing average. But it's just me. You know, I'm a competitive guy. I think I can do better than the world in everything.
Right.
The world is pretty average, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I think you can tell a story right now that is pretty attractive to an investor that, you know, is a winner. You know what I mean? He's a CEO,
yeah.
Or he's been a winner, right? He's everything he does well, and he continues to do well, and he's optimistic about the future, and you know he's gonna do well. I mean, there's gonna be bad outcomes from this, but I think we're gonna get open sooner, and you know I think it's gonna turn out that the pandemic is really bad, but worse is putting everybody out of business.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it.
You know, so
go ahead, I'm sorry.
The restaurants here are, everybody's supporting them by doing takeout. They're turning themselves into, three of them are now selling food, so you can email them a list of everything you want, and they basically shop for you.
Right.
From the restaurants and my two clubs that I have, both
yeah.
of them will shop for you, and the produce is fabulous. So
yeah.
Anyway, I think the restaurateurs that are sharp are going to make it.
Yep.
But
I agree.
The restaurateurs that are saying, woe is me, and the world is terrible, they're gonna go under, you know, but that's the way, you know, there's a little bit of survival of the fittest that happens periodically that kind of cleanses the world of idiots.
You know, my club has actually done an amazing job in terms of food. They put out a menu every day. Some of it is a static menu, and then there are specials every day. It's a no contact delivery service. You call up, you order your meal, you tell them what time, and they come, they ring your doorbell, they leave it at your front door, and then they go.
Oh,
so
my
you,
God.
There's no contact.
Oh,
no contact.
That. You get delivery. You get delivery.
Yeah.
That, we don't
yep.
get delivery. We have to pick it up. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we wanted to eliminate coming in contact and even touching the bag or, you know, picking it up. So, yeah, they deliver every day, lunch and dinner, if you want, which I think is good. I mean, I've been in the office every day. You know, my building is closed. My office is locked. I sit in my office. People are not allowed to walk into my office. You got to stand at the door, which gives me 8 feet of space. And, you know, and I've got six people, six, sometimes seven, and we're spread out very far because people, you know, want to be here, and they're all, you know, they're all very careful over the weekend. There's no games being played. You know, I was kind of surprised from a pandemic standpoint as to why the mayor of Jacksonville, and I know I'm getting sidetracked, opened that beach this weekend. I don't know what he was thinking, because inherently
right.
people are not that bright, you know, so, you know.
All right.
That?
I'd
yeah.
say they're not that bright. You're correct.
They're not that bright. So and my biggest fear, it's not. We need to get open. We absolutely need to get open. But if people don't understand how rapidly this virus can start to spread again, you know, that, you know, social distancing or whatever you want to call it, you know, it needs to stay in place. I mean, I stop at Dunkin' Donuts in the morning. I have gloves on and I have a mask on. You know, I went to pick up a pizza last night, which I, you know, only because I know the place. They have it. You can't get near the counter. I just gave them cash because I don't want them touching my credit card. I had gloves on and a mask when I walked in. I mean, and the majority of people down here, you know, in Palm Beach County is certainly doing that. You know, I had to pick up a couple of things at Publix. I'm reluctant to go, but, you know, we needed a couple of things. And everybody, Publix now, have you been in Publix recently?
Yeah, you only go one way, and everybody's got
right.
a mask on. They got
yep.
the glass for the girls, and
yeah,
no, it's great. You'd be surprised. What you're describing is not a closed community, by the way. That's a pretty open community.
Right.
You know, you're out and about and picking up food and going to, and the restaurants are basically open for delivery and not to be inside, but. You know, a lot of restaurants can operate pretty well. One of our club had 150 meals served the other night.
Right.
That's a great night for them.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that we're doing that on a regular basis. And the objective for my club is they don't really want you to leave, and for the most part, I don't. You know, my one excursion, the fact that I went to pick up a pizza, that's more than I've been out on a weekend in a very long time. You know, when it comes
sure.
down to being in my office, I bring something for lunch. I don't want to go out. I really don't want people leaving the office. But, you know, for the most part, everybody brings their own food and everybody sits in the office and nobody goes anywhere. So, you know, that's why I think that, you know, you're definitely the story that can be told is absolutely 100% correct. That the world is changing. We now will have, and it's funny, we had the president of the company who has been somewhat quiet, but he had a quarterly review last week, and I asked him a question. I said, you know, where is the firm stack up right now in terms of how we're going to function in the new normal? You know, real estate's going to change, you know, because people found out they can work from home, you know, and, you know, how many people are going to be required to come into an office, and when will a lot of people feel comfortable coming into an office? So real estate's going to change, which is why you talk about the REITs getting crushed. And, you know, big box stores, you know, I have not been in one, so I don't even know what it looks like when you go in there. You know, that's it. I haven't walked into the pharmacy. You know, if I need something, I'm going to go to the drive-in window. You know, it's, Rob, a snack that I bought for some people is I bought Jack in a Box because they're primarily a pickup, you know, a place. And the stock has just flourished. I mean, it's just one stock, but stock has just flourished in this environment. And that's what people have to understand. So it's,
bring. See, you bring that intellect to the game. And I think you got to tell the story. And what I'm finding is that most people are so busy with their existing clients, they've shut down their pipeline. And when this is over, their pipeline is going to be empty.
Right.
Or it's going to have mold on it. So my message to you is don't shut down. You know, it's like an army that goes in and wins the war and then realizes that they are cut off from their supply line.
Right.
Your pipeline is your supply line. Your pipeline is your future nourishment. So you cannot kill your pipeline. You cannot, you know, win the war and then realize you're surrounded and you have no supply line. It cut
yeah.
you off. You got to take that pipeline tool, whatever one you're using, and dust it off and say, that's my future.
Right.
I've got to And you were doing great about asking for introductions and getting in front of people. Now you can get it. You're just going to get in front of people in a different way.
Yeah. Yep.
The need is greater than you've ever seen it right now. People are getting less attention. You think everybody's being called? No, they're not. My brother didn't get a call from his advisor the whole time.
Right.
I didn't get a call from my institution that manages our family, not our family foundation, but the Island School Foundation. Never got a call. Okay.
Right.
Waiting for the quarterly review in the middle of a pandemic. Okay. I had to call them. I had to set up a call for my committee with someone that could give us some advice other than the advisor. And
right.
I had to suggest rebalancing the portfolio.
That's really ironic. Let me just say something. So I sit here and every other day I print out my money line and I put a check mark next to each person that I've spoken to. And, you know, I just go do it over and over again. And just, you know, then they become my referral line. You know, it's just really, how much better does it get than that? They're sitting there going, well, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. You know, as a client that I hadn't spoken to in a long time, I called him last week. I sent him some ideas. He said, let me review it and I'll be back to you. I mean, it's just call them all. I mean, call them all. You know, everything down to $250,000. You know, the individual accounts, not even the households. I call, you know, I just look at it from an individual account basis and get in touch with them. And then we talk about, you know, what's going on. And then we do a review of the valuation, what's happened, where do we stand, you know, and it's, you know, and to me, that's, I don't know why everybody wouldn't be doing that. That's the only thing I do, you know, from that standpoint.
Well, make it clear that, you know, what is it that you do that other people don't do? Why are you in better shape than they are? You know, what is going to, in the future, what will make your performance better than someone? And we're not just talking about performance. We're also talking about all the other things that are.
Right, sure.
You know,
the intangibles.
All that. You know, the fee they pay for your service is such a joke compared to what they get in terms of service, financial planning, you know, being there for them when they have a problem, when they need advice on their kids, when they need advice on everything. And that's the part they don't understand until they have you as a client. And so that's why you want to build the rituals into the 12-4-2 model. You know, where you have an agenda, you have the call, and then you give them the executive summary, just like it's a board meeting. You know, make sure that you're doing that, even if it's, and you're in the office, so you can use your folder. You know, I'm talking to teams that are out of the office. You know, they can't use their folders. They didn't bring them with them. So they're sitting there by the, I'd go in the office and get my folders if I were them. But anyway, we have a virtual folder. We're just going to try and make it something that is more easily worked with CRM systems and other things.
I'll tell you anecdotally, I'll tell you a funny story. So 2 weeks ago today, you know, my orthopedist, who's a client of mine, you know, I always joke that I keep him on retainer. And he said, you know, can we possibly get together? So I said, can I come to your office? I said, no, we're not letting any clients in the office. If you want, you know, as long as there's nobody around, I'll come sit with you. And he said, that's fine. So I went in there very early on a Monday morning. There was nobody, no nurses, nobody else other than him. And I brought his folder because the first time we've done a review in a long time. And I put it down in front of him. And he said, I said, I brought you yesterday's closing valuation of your account. He said, really? Because I haven't looked at it in about 3 weeks. He said, I said, he said, you know, I don't even know where it stands. So I said, well, you're currently at, this was the other day. I mean, this was 2 weeks ago. I said, you're currently at 655. He said, are you kidding me? I thought I would have been 5.25. I said, but that's why you own good quality stocks. There's nothing in here that you shouldn't own at this point in time. You know, it's just one of those things that he had no clue, you know, and it was a pleasant surprise. And then we've spoken again in terms of, you know, where he should be. You know, that 655 is now 723, you know, and it's just, you know, so now it's a matter of here's where we go. And he said to me, I'm going to send you more money because, you know, one of the, my investments that I had in some real estate came due and now I'm going to send it to you. And we kind of went through a list of, you know, possible investments. But, you know, it was a nice surprise to him, you know, now send me some more people. That's what we've done. That's what we've done well. I get it. You know, I really do. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we do here. But you know, one of the things is to you know, just sort of sit back and say, all right, so what is it that I bring to the table that other FAs don't?
Right.
All right, and make a list, and then keep it in front of you. So you don't forget, you know, oh yeah, financial planning. Oh, I forget about that all the time, you know?
Right.
You know, the fact that I rebalance regularly when everybody's excited about the market, we raise a little cash, you know, and rebalance to a, I don't care what the asset allocation model is, rebalancing makes sense. You don't have to do it, you know, a huge move to make it effective for the client and tells the client a story. We buy low and we sell high. And we have a system for doing it, you know. And the client goes, God, that's so, you know, it's just a little thing, but it adds, you know, in the end, I think our rate of returns are going, you know, the average rate of return for clients over a long period of time is not the 9% that the S&P 500 has or the Dow has. It's closer to 5%. And it's because clients make stupid decisions.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And so one of the things you got to do is to say, okay, I'm going to be somewhere between 5 and 9% because I'm always going to hold some cash. And they pay me a fee. And those things take away. So what's my real rate of return going to be? Is it going to be 5? Or is it going to be 8.5? Or is it going to be 7? And by rebalancing, if I can add 1% to the return over 30 years, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt.
Yep.
You know,
right?
it's my line in many cases I say to these people, I said, look, my objective is not to hit the big home run when everybody else hit the home run. My objective is to make sure that I've protected you on the downside and you've made doubles on the upside. And if we get lucky and get a little bit more, but it's my thing is to preserve your capital. And that's what we've done. And that's what we've done well. That's what I've done well. And I take pride in that is that, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, trying to, you know, capture the last dollar. It's a much more effective way to function.
So, all right. So the big theme for today, my themes are continue to do the rituals of 12-4-2. Use the folders and I mean, you're being in touch and your prospect, you're being in touch, but my other big theme is to dust off the pipeline, get it out and get going as if nothing had happened.
Right.
Okay. That, you know, it's fine to be off track prospecting wise for 4 weeks. It's not okay to be off for 6 months.
Right.
okay? And you know that. I mean, that's where you tell your young FAs, right? Hey,
right.
You got to get back.
Absolutely.
Get back on the horse. Let's go. And the opportunities are better than they've ever been. So you recruited a guy named Abe Horowitz.
Down in Miami, Frank Amigo did that. Yes, I spent time with Abe, and it's ironic that when I met Abe, probably earlier last year, when I was still running the region, and he and I began to have regular conversations with regard to Supernova, and you know, we were constantly, you know, if I could get him where he'd have a little time, you know, we would touch base on it. I haven't spoken to him since he joined us, only because I figured he's swamped in transitioning his business. But yes, we recruited Abe Horowitz. Absolutely.
Great guy. Really good guy. I've coached him for a long time, a couple of years now. And, you know, he's a believer and he's a good guy. So take good care of him.
That's one of the things that Frank does down there, you know, in addition to, you know, it's really funny. So, you know, Frank's the guy that took over for me when I decided I wanted to give up the region, or Jerry decided he didn't want me in the region anymore. But, you know, every once in a while he says to me, he says, how did you do this? I said, you know, you just do it. All right. So, and I'm happy that it's you, because you're a lot younger and stronger than I am, and I like what I'm doing now. You know, I just really enjoy, you know, dealing with my clients in my small little office. And if I pick up one or two players along the way, that's going to be great. And I think that, you know, I'm going to have, I have fun. You know, it's really interesting, Rob, because you go through this process and you've been here before. You know, I would go, my friends would call me and said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I sleep great. I eat great. I said, my clients are okay. Nobody likes losing money, but they know that they've been positioned well. And they said, really? And that's, you know, you kind of look at it and sit there again. I don't have all of their assets, but I certainly am hoping that I'm planting enough seeds in there saying, yeah, no, this is what it's about. So from that, the pipeline in my community, I think that's one of my, I am working that one, you know, it just subtly. From that standpoint, it's just a matter. I haven't come right out and said to them, hey, let me have some of your money. Let me show you how this gets done. But we've certainly had numerous discussions. You know, it's interesting how people call you and ask you questions.
And offer your counseling, you know.
Yep, I do.
And just say it that way. You know, there's a lot of people going through, you know, some highly stressful situations. If you know somebody that could use a little counseling in terms of their financial situation, please don't hesitate to call on me. I'm happy to help.
You know, it's really funny because until you just said that, I never think about that as a prospecting tool. But I tell that to everybody. I just, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to call me. I'll answer your questions for you. That's what happened with my cardiologist. You know, his guy retired, and he was reassigned, and that's how I'm going to get that account. You know, I do that all the time, and I never think about that as prospecting. It just comes out in conversation. You know, let me know if there's any questions. You call me. I'm in the office. You know, it's really kind of an interesting thing. Thank you for pointing that out. I never look at it that way.
Well, it's a little different than, you know, you're really offering what you know, your help during a crisis for people that are under enormous stress and pressure. And,
right.
And, you know, they're not all going to be qualified. But
no, not at all.
You're doing them a favor, and then you can assign them to somebody else to actually do the open the account and do the work. But
right.
Because you have minimums, right? But
yeah, sure.
But I think what you're doing is saying, look, just like you say, if you have questions, call. I'm happy to answer them. You know, and that's it. It's basically saying, hey, I'm not only just open for business, I'm really here to help you guys and help help your friends and help your family. So, you know, let me know, because who doesn't have questions right now? And so all I'm saying is this is the greatest time. You know, people say, when's the best time to start in our business? I'd tell them today, okay? Because there are more people with – is it easier to prospect in a bull market or a violently moving market? You know, a bull market is hard to prospect in because everybody's happy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This is great because it's so volatile and so uncertain, and it's the greatest prospecting opportunity I've seen in years and years, 10, 15, 20 years, seriously. So take advantage of it. Strike while the chaos is there. Once the VIX gets down to 20 or 18 or 14, then it's no fun. I mean, it's hard to prospect.
I agree. I absolutely agree. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, and you try to just do what, you know, when I started in the business, all right, I got in the business in 1980. So when I got on the phones and in 1981, you know, you'll remember this one. Granville said, sell everything. You know, Granville said, sell everything. And, you know, in January of 1981, and by April, you know, the market had gone to 1,000 and it just dripped down for the next year. Well, you know what? I opened 125 accounts. Now, granted, we weren't doing asset size at that time, but I opened 125 accounts in 7 months. You know, I mean, I never got off the phone. It just, you know, brand new prospecting, you know, it can buy a utility, do whatever, but, it was constant because somebody else wasn't calling them. And you're right. It's exactly the same thing at this point in time. So, you know, we just...
So get fired up. Yeah, get fired up. Remember that energy that you had then and go for it. You know, go for it. And you'll, you'll double your business during this time when the whole world's asleep. You know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They're just asleep. That's all.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I'm doing is I'm starting to incorporate the other books that I will inherit. You know, so when I do a research call, I invite everybody. I invite everybody from my book and the other two books together. And
That's fine.
We got a nice response. So that will ultimately come. So they, just trying to stay in the game, and I'm having fun. I'm having fun, Rob. I'm having fun. You know,
here's my homework for you. Put yourself into an uncomfortable situation this week, meaning make a call that makes you uncomfortable. Okay. Create a story that you can tell me. You know, Rob, I was hesitant to call this guy. I called him, and guess what? Boom. I want a guess what story. I want a good success story. But it's got to come from something that other people wouldn't be willing to do. That's when it's a really good story. Okay? I'm always writing books,
done.
You know. I need a good story for my book. Right in the middle of the crisis. Michael LeMay did this. And, you know, this was the story, and this is the success he had. So create an anecdotal story for me.
I will do my best.
I'd love that.
See what I can come up with in the next 30 days. Yeah.
Excellent.
I will speak to you in a month.
All right, Michael. Great talking to you. Thanks, buddy.
You too, Rob. Stay safe. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.